years ago thinking about transportation and how that has changed. You know, years ago, when people wanted to travel somewhere, they walked or rode a horse or things like that. It was a slow method of transportation. Now, because of technology, we can board an airplane and basically fly to the other side of the world in a really quick time. It's amazing how far technology has come with transportation. What about communication? Well, many years ago, the only way to communicate was face-to-face. And then mankind figured out how to write things and to send messages that way. And now, with our phones, with a few pushes of a button, we can send a message to someone on the other side of the world. Or we can pick up the phone and call someone on the other side of the world. We can ways of how technology has changed with communication. What about shopping? Well, years ago, in order to purchase something, you'd have to, again, travel by foot or by horse, go to a store and purchase something. Now, we can shop at home, right? If we want to, push a few buttons or a button or two on Amazon and have something delivered right to our door. So thinking about technology and the changes, I don't know how you are this morning, if the next new thing that's invented, if it excites you, or if you're just like wishing it would slow down or maybe just push back against it. Now we have things like AI, artificial intelligence, a virtual reality. And I realize there's even a congregation like this, we probably have differing views on technology. Some of us might just wish it would slow down, or maybe we feel it's come far enough, or already too far in some ways. So I have a question. How should we, as Kingdom Christians, how should we view technology? And more specifically this morning, I'd like to talk about digital technology. What should our view be on digital technology? Should we be saying no to it? Should we say, hey, it's a useful tool? What should we do? Is it an evil thing or is it a blessing? Do we view it as a blessing or a curse? To illustrate that this morning, I have two things, two little object lessons. First off, a knife. I typically don't take a knife to a church service, but for the sake of the illustration, a knife and my phone, my smartphone that I carry in my pocket. The question I want us to think about this a little bit. Are there similarities between the two? And I want to open this up for anyone to respond. If there are similarities, what similarities come to your mind? They both can be dangerous. Okay, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. So they're both dangerous, but yet they both can be used for good. Anyone else?
They're both just tools.
Okay. Well, these are reading my mind. So that is the point. So a knife in the hands of the right person can be very beneficial for cutting things, cutting meat, preparing things. In the hands of an evil man intent to do harm, it can be deadly. In the hands of a young child, there's a reason we don't just lay a knife like this on the floor where a young child can get to it, because we realize this knife has potential danger. And also thinking about digital technology, specifically our phones, it can be, I think we would all agree, a useful tool. In the hands of a person that is intentional how they use it, it can be a useful tool. In the hands of an evil person, intent to do wrong, can get into a lot of evil with a smartphone or with phone or digital technology. So I'd like to look at 3 points this morning regarding technology and time management. The 3 points are the first one, technology dangers. The second one, technology opportunities. And then thirdly, time management, specifically regarding technology. So number one, technology dangers, two, technology opportunities, and then thirdly, time management regarding technology. And I sent Steve a message this morning. I was going over my notes this morning and I was trying to condense, because Winter Bible School, I was given maybe about 50 minutes. And I was going through the notes this morning, and I trimmed some, but then after I had them printed, I'm like, I don't think I trimmed enough. I sent Steve a message. I was like, I don't know if it's possible to have a little more time or not, but I don't know how much time you typically have, but I appreciate you if you did condense a little bit. I will try to condense it some and get through it in a timely manner. So looking at these 3 points, well, before I get into that, another question. I'm curious how many of you have read this book, Surviving the Tech Tsunami by Gary Miller. If you read the book, I'd like to see a raise of hands. So very few, and that's okay. I hadn't read it until I was preparing for this. I would like to whet your appetite this morning to read this book. I think it'd be very good for many, if not all, in this congregation, in every congregation, to read this book. It's a very good book, and I'd like to share, throughout the message, I want to refer back to this book several times. Another book I'm maybe curious too. How many of you have read this book? This was also by Gary Miller, Tech Talk. I think this was printed since the book Surviving the Tech Tsunami. Curious, hands, if I'd like to see your hand if you read this book. A few as well. And there again, two really good books. I did not read this one cover to cover. I read a few parts here and there, but I do believe this was geared a little bit more towards youth. So youth here this morning, you want a good book to read regarding technology, I recommend reading the book Tech Talk by Gary Miller. So for a text, you can turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. What we won't find in the Bible is specific ways in how we should handle a smartphone or digital technology. See, I believe as technology advances, it's harder and harder to just say no. There are churches that still, for the most part, will take the approach and just say no. That was easier, I believe, years ago than it is today because our lives, our jobs, and things like that are so intertwined with digital technology. For example, television. At large, a conservative Anabaptist church has said no to television. It was a fairly, I wasn't involved in any decisions like that, but I would think a fairly maybe easy line to draw. But now, with a smartphone, we basically have television in our pockets. So it's not as easy as it once was. So going back again to Ephesians chapter 5, passage here, we don't have specific advice how to handle digital technology, and yet we have a good filter or a good passage to draw application from. I'm going to start at verse 1 in Ephesians 5 and read through verse 21, and I'm not going to spend much time in this passage, just I want to draw a few things and how we are to use our time. So Paul said, Ephesians 5 and verse 1, he says this, "Be therefore followers of God." That word followers could also say imitators of God, "as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness, or, could say, all impurity, or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes in darkness, or you were once in darkness, but now are you light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame to even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And then verse 15, listen carefully. See then that you walk circumspectly, or it could say, that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, But understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So drawing from these verses and thinking about digital technology, I just wrote a few things down. So when we think about how we should use technology, how we should spend our time on technology, or specifically digital technology, Paul says we are to be followers of God, or to imitate God. So we know that God is pure, he's without sin, and we are called to follow in God's example, or follow Christ's example. So we are to imitate him. We are to put off uncleanness, or to put off impurities. So if something is impure regarding technology, that shouldn't be part of our lives. We are to walk as children of light, or to live as children in the light. So he says, well, you were once in darkness, but now you're called out of the darkness into the light. There should be the putting off and the putting on, walking in the light. We are to walk circumspectly, or walk carefully. And then we are to redeem the time. And that phrase, redeem the time, basically means making the best use of time. That's challenging. It's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to me every day, to make the best use of the time that we are given. And then we are to be filled with the Spirit. So just a few things I'd like us to note, thinking about how we as Christians should live. I know this isn't new to any of us, and yet it's a good passage to go to, thinking about digital technology and what we should do with it. So I want us to take a careful look at our use of technology so we redeem the time we are granted. All of us one day, we know we will be accountable for what we did with the time God gave us. And are we wasting our time? Or are we making the best use of the time he's given us? So thinking about the first point, technology dangers, I'm going to try to go through this fairly quickly. And I realize on these notes, I'm basically scratching the surface on what could be shared. You know, technology dangers, technology opportunities. There's a lot that could be said, but I'll go through these fairly quickly. So back to the book, Surviving the Tech Tsunami by Gary Miller. I'm going to go through and list a few of them that he has noted in his book. The first, or one of them, being digital distractions. And there's a powerful story that Gary shared in his book, and I'm just going to read a small portion of it. But a number of years ago, Gary was in Romania visiting with three men. It was a grandfather, his son, and then his grandson. There were three men sitting around a table. And the grandfather was sharing some of his life experiences, and then his son shared, and then as well as the grandson. The sobering part is, so Gary talked about three men and three risks. So the grandfather shared, during his time in Romania, he grew up with little knowledge of Christianity, but through a series of events became a Christian. And it was, at the time, the country was closed to Christianity, and he had to meet in secret. And he took a great risk throughout his life being a Christian. He was at great risk for living for Christ. And the life that he lived, he was going on to share some stories with Gary. After the grandfather finished some of his stories, the son started talking, and he also took great risk in living for the Lord. There was times where he would smuggle Bibles into other closed countries, and several times of getting very close to being arrested for what he was doing. So he was risking his life for Christ's sake. And then the grandson was going to share, so Gary turned to, the grandson's name was Paul. And Paul, I'm just going to read a short section here. Paul talked about his daily life and spiritual journey compared to his father and grandfather when they were his age. Paul was also honest about his own spiritual struggles. He would like to be closer to the Lord, but has difficulty finding time for personal devotions. When I inquired about his greatest obstacle, he didn't hesitate: technology. Paul spends about 6 hours each day on his computer. He comes home from school and immediately gets online to check email, communicate with friends on social media, or play an online game. But his greatest challenge is movies. For me, movies are a problem. I know they are affecting my spiritual life. Sometimes I try making promises, knowing I have to cut some of this out. They take a lot of my time. Paul seemed genuinely perplexed about his inability to overcome the lure of digital entertainment. That third one is a sad story of a young man striving to do what's right and yet being trapped by digital technology. His spiritual life was at risk because of digital technology. And I believe that potential danger is there for each one of us this morning, as it was for Paul. If you're here this morning and you can't seem to find time to get alone with God and to spend time in His Word, I think you really need to do a close look into your own personal life. Do you have time to be doing things, or say social media or digital, using digital technology, and yet not find any time for God? There's a great risk there. So one of the technology dangers is digital distractions. It's even for my own life, and I hopefully at the end of the message have time to just share a little bit of a personal story as well. Another danger, God and Google. Gary Miller has said, and I quote, "One of the most perplexing traits of humanity is our tendency to worship objects made with our own hands." We know idols were common, maybe more common in the Old Testament than what they are today, but in some cultures, idols are still fairly common. And yet, this right here, we might not worship our phone or digital technology, and yet it can become an idol and take the place of getting alone with God. So one thing with Google, we can operate it anywhere, anytime, and search for or find anything, anywhere, anytime, basically, as long as we have the service to do it. So Google combined with Wi-Fi is a little like God. God is wireless, God is everywhere, and God sees and knows everything. And one thing with Google, we can search something and find an instant answer. And now with AI, we can get even a better answer than some ways before. Now, I'm not saying we should be against, or we shouldn't be using Google. I use it quite a bit. Search a lot of things, and it can be a very useful tool. And yet, it should not take us to the place where we don't need God's Word anymore. God's Word is the ultimate truth, because Googling things, there is danger there. There's a wealth of information available online. As I was preparing for this topic, I decided to do a search for a few different things. So one of the things, just a little experiment. So I Googled evidence for God's existence, and there was so much information that popped up. I could have read and read and read probably for hours what came up as evidence for God's existence. I read a little bit, a lot of good answers came up. After that, I searched evidence for why God, or how I know God doesn't exist. And again, so much information. So I share that as we need to be careful what we are searching for, because what many people do now is basically find a faith that fits their lifestyle. That's very, very easy to do with technology today. We can find a faith, a belief that works for us rather than going to God's Word. So yes, we can find a lot of good things through Google, but there is danger as well. There's a lot of deception out there, a lot of confusion simply from what we can find on Google. Another danger is that Gary talked about, connected but lonely, or connected and lonely. And studies have been done that show social media is causing more loneliness. So those who spend, this is a study that was done, those who spent more than 2 hours per day on social media were twice as likely to feel lonely than those who spend less than 30 minutes per day. So I find that interesting as well. We can have a lot of online friends and yet still feel very lonely if we're not connecting with people in person, how we were designed. Again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have online friends, but that shouldn't it shouldn't stop there. Another one, seduced by sight and sound. Neil Postman had, I believe, wrote some time ago, he's not living anymore, but I think he wrote a book titled Amusing Ourselves to Death. So he was alarmed at the powerful negative impact screens were having at the time, and that was in 1985. 1985, he was alarmed at what screens were doing. How much more would he be alarmed if he was living today? And this, I don't know that he was even a professing Christian. Even the secular world realizes there is danger with too much screen time. And many videos are designed to keep you captive, to keep you watching. They often, YouTube videos, and many of you know this, a lot of these YouTubers will put a title to a video that really piques your interest. You won't believe what happened, or watch this and it'll solve, or whatever. It makes you very curious. They don't give you maybe an exact answer what's happening, but it makes you curious. A lot of digital technology is designed to keep you there. And again, I use YouTube quite a bit, for it can be very helpful. You can listen to good things on there. And this week, or was it last week, we had Kyler, our oldest son, was mowing, and the mower belt tour. So I looked into a little bit, looked what belt we needed to order, ordered a belt, you know, a few clicks on my phone, it showed up at our door, and then looked on a YouTube, or looked for a YouTube video, and then Kyler watched it, and he pretty much put it on himself, or almost himself. So it can be used for a lot of good, and yet there's a lot of danger out there as well. So Gary asks a question, he asks, is the day coming when we will serve the technologies originally created to serve us? Just thinking about robots and all these things that are created, is there a day coming when we will serve the technologies originally created to serve us? And another quote by Marshall McLuhan, he says, we shape our tools and afterward our tools shape us. And these are just things to get us thinking a little bit what technology can do to us. So technology, when abused, doesn't live up to its definition. So some forms of technology can abuse it, and it cannot or doesn't always live up to its definition. So that was some negative things about technology, or some dangers about technology. So let's move now to second point, technology opportunities. So is it possible, while digital technology can hold a lot of danger, is there potential for it to be used for a lot of good? Do you believe that? Can digital technology be used for good as well? I see some heads nodding. I think we would probably all agree that yes, technology can be used for good, and I talked briefly about that. But there's various, we could talk about a number of ways technology can be used for good. And again, in the book here, Gary talks about several different ways technology can be used for good. He shared a story this was a closed country where when people were smuggling Bibles across borders, it was very difficult. But with digital technology, people were able to just smuggle a little digital card with the Bible downloaded onto it, smuggle that into the country much easier than a Bible, and then with that, they took that little card into a printing shop in this closed country. At night, the printing shop, you know, closed it or was shut for business. But at night, they would just print out Bibles in this printing shop through this little card where the Bible was downloaded on it. And they could print out many more Bibles than they could have smuggled across the borders. And it was much more efficient, even financially, to print them there rather than have them smuggled in. So that's just one example of technology opportunities. There's radio programs where the Bible can be, where people can listen to the Bible, even though they might not even have the Bible written in their own language, but they can hear it through digital technology. Websites, there's many people that can access good information. Evil as well, but for a lot of good. A lot of churches have websites, and that can be a tool for reaching the lost, for reaching people that might not want to step foot in the building, but they might be willing to listen to a sermon or listen to Scripture through digital technology. And thinking about maybe bringing it home a little more personally, because of digital technology, we now are capable of sending someone encouraging text, you know, instantly, rather than writing something on paper and sending it through mail. I mean, that, still, there's benefits to that. But we can encourage someone through text. With Riley and Katharina, with them moving over to Thailand and now into Laos, like, we can easily keep communication there. We can have meetings through Zoom where we can see them. Yes, it's not face-to-face, but it's much better than it would have been years ago. And Jim, I'm sure through Olive Branch, you use a lot of digital technology and the conveniences and benefits that it brings. So there are many good opportunities for technology as well. Also, we have a lot of good resources for us to go to and be spiritually fed as well. I just have a few of them listed here that I enjoy listening to. One is Anabaptist Perspectives. They have those, I think, through podcasts, YouTube, a lot of good information through Anabaptist Perspectives. If you haven't ever checked into that, I encourage you to do that, especially those of you who throughout the day, maybe your job allows you to listen to something while you're working. My job allows that me to listen to it, or fairly often I can listen to things. Strength to Strength is another one. That was started during COVID, where some brothers got together virtually and started having a speaker. This was every other week that they were doing it for a while. Then Strength to Strength Sisters started. So they meet, or they don't meet in person, but it's once a month where it's Anabaptist women getting together and sharing. There's just a lot of good content out there as well. So that's through Strength to Strength. Sound Faith is another one. There's music. We can listen to a lot of godly music as well through digital technology. Sermons. We can listen to a lot of good sermons as well. So some of that takes discernment. Some of it takes, you got to be careful what all you listen to, but there are a lot of good resources to go to. So, thinking a little bit about that, we looked at technology dangers, we looked at some technology opportunities, and does the good outweigh the bad? What should we do with it? I don't know if the good outweighs the bad necessarily, but it takes some wisdom in applying it. So, I asked a question earlier, is it a blessing or is it a curse? I think about it a little bit like money. So, money, the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. And I believe it's the same way with our phones. It can be a blessing or a curse. It depends on how we're handling it. Money can be a blessing or a curse. It depends on what we are doing with the money. So moving to the third point, time management regarding technology. So how should we respond to digital technology in 2024, where we probably all would like to push back on some things that are happening regarding technology? So I'd like to draw some personal application, but before I get there, I'm going to again reference the book. Hopefully you're all getting the desire to read this now. Gary talked about a survey that he put on, or had helped, or he had help with this survey, but there was men, or there were people that went to different Anabaptist churches and asked specific questions to church leaders, some of the elderly people in the church, and then also to the youth. Some questions on technology, what they're doing with it, and then to the youth, how technology is affecting them. And after the survey was over, there was some alarming things that got his attention. So there was a big disconnect between the elders and what they thought was happening in the church and versus the youth and what was actually happening. There was a big disconnect there. And there was, a lot of the youth were involved in things that should not have been. And I'm not here to say that I'm suspicious of that here, but it takes some wisdom in knowing how to handle technology. So I'd like to think about that a little bit before we get to practical application. So he also talked about, he broke the survey down into several groups of people. So the one on one end, maybe the more conservative Anabaptists, probably including some Amish, they are taking more the approach, you know, just say no. They were pushing back against this new technology that was coming out. So it wasn't really something that they were talking about as much on a congregational level. They were just more saying no to it. But what was happening, their youth, and probably not just the youth, but there were people in the congregation that were getting their hands on things like phones with the internet, and they weren't given any guidance. They were, you know, basically told they couldn't have it. So when they had it, many of their youth were viewing things that should never have been. On the flip side of that, the other extreme, some of the approach was, you know, just adhere to biblical principles, and there wasn't given much thought into how we should flesh this out and what all we should allow and shouldn't allow. And the youth, from the most conservative to the other extreme, let's just stand on biblical principles, both extremes were, both of them weren't doing very well regarding digital technology. The ones that did best, he talked about the integrated approach, that where members were holding each other accountable, where they took this seriously and recognized that there is opportunities here. It's not something that we should just say no to, but give some guidance to it. And I'd like to share a quote yet from, if I can say his name right, Karl von Clausewitz. He was a Prussian general who was involved in several military campaigns in the 1800s. This is what he said, and I quote, "Defense is the strongest form of combat in which you will always lose." I'll say that one more time. I want you to think about regarding digital technology. He says, "Defense is the strongest form of combat in which you will always lose." So thinking about that, so if you only focus on defense or preserving, regardless of your strength, we're going to end up losing. So we need to do more than just say no. We need to give some guidance. And I believe the same is true in our churches. We must not hunker down and only preserve, but to reach out and attack the enemy. To recognize that there is potential evil with digital technology. And we don't just say no, but we attack it. We are proactive. We're careful how we use technology. So quickly, I'd like to look at some practical application. How can we, as Christians, live a pure and holy life in 2024? How can we be imitators of God, as Ephesians 5 calls us to? How can we redeem the time, make the best use of time regarding technology? The first one that I noted, it's very simple, but we must love God with all our heart. See, we can use the best filters, have the best accountability partners, but if we don't have a love for God and desire to live a pure and holy life, we're going to miss the mark and we're going to fail. We need to love God with all our heart. And we need to continue to go to God and to draw near to Him and have that desire to live a pure and a holy life. Someone has said, if the heart is right, nothing else matters. How many of you have hear people say that? Well, if the heart's right, nothing else matters. I really like how someone else said it. If the heart is right, everything else matters. So if I have a heart, if my heart is set on doing what is right, everything else matters. It matters what I view on my phone. It matters what I do with my time, because if my heart's right, everything else matters. So we need a heart that loves God and hates evil. David said, is it Psalm 101, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. We need to have a desire, as David did, to live a pure and holy life. I'm going to share some of my personal opinion. You can take it for what it's worth. Some of you might agree, some of you might disagree. But I believe in the age that we're living in, accountability partners are very key. And I want to say this carefully. I'm not saying it's a must. I believe, especially for our young people, it is so important to have someone that comes to them and truly cares about them, ask them specific questions, how things are going. And I'm not saying it should stop at young people either. I think as churches, we need to be talking about this. And going back to the survey, there was a lot of disconnect there, from the older to the younger, and what was thought what was happening to what was actually happening. And I believe the same can be true in many of our churches as well. So with digital technology, I'll say this yet. So there are some people might that push back against accountability groups or accountability partners, and there's many ways this can be done. And some older people might more have the mentality like, well, they didn't have that when they were younger, like, why do we need it now? But some of my response to that would be, I believe our young people, and not just our young people, are facing temptations today that the generations before us have not faced. And for an example of that, I didn't even mention about pornography and things like that, but the rates of the statistics are going, it's so sad, even Christian people who are wrapped up, both men and women who are getting wrapped up in these things. But go back to many years ago, in order for someone to view material like that, pornographic material, they would have had to likely go into a store and face the cashier, go through the embarrassment of that to purchase this, versus today, people can pull this out of their pocket, and even if they have, I know people can find a way around filters and things like that, and if they really have a heart that wants to find it, they can get wrapped up in it very easily. They didn't have to face the cashier, they can just see this in the privacy of their bedroom or wherever they are. And so I think the temptations are much greater and just more prevalent today than it was years ago, and I think that's why accountability is so key. And if you have any thoughts on it, you're welcome to talk to me afterwards. If you have pushback against it, I'd still welcome the conversation. So in Shenandoah, a few years ago, we started accountability groups. What we have actually right now, it's two different men's groups where we'll meet pretty much once a month. Where we will meet, I suggest not having too big of a group, like five or less is probably more ideal than, you know, 10 guys in a group. So the group I'm in, we meet usually once a month, it's a Friday morning when we'll typically meet. We go out for breakfast and then we have our time of sharing where we ask each other some personal questions. So I think that's a great way, knowing that, you know, temptations that we face, but not only am I, is it going to, if I, you know, view this inappropriate material, whatever it may be, is I'm not our first would be, this is going to separate my relationship with God, and I don't want to do it for that reason, but also I'm going to have to share with my brothers, or for women, I'm going to share with my sisters, you know, what I'm going through. And it's a safeguard to keep us from getting wrapped up in something immoral. And yeah, you can do one-on-one. There's many ways that can be done, but I just think as churches, we need to be talking about these things. We need to care for one another and support each other. And there's some sad stories, too, that come out of accountability groups where someone does finally open up with what they're dealing with. And some, I think it can be handled wrong ways, too, where there's more shame brought. No, we need to care for each other, pray for one another, that we work through this together. We are all caring for one another. And regarding digital technology, so Jesus said, you know, if your hand offends you, what do you say? Cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. I don't think he was literally talking about cutting off our hand or plucking out our eye. But when something is causing us to sin, we need to take measures of amputation to cut it off from our life. And I believe if we're failing with digital technology, we need to look at what amputations we must make in order to live a pure life, to imitate God. I don't know how many of you are on social media. I have Facebook. I use it mainly for business, but even there, I realize how addictive Facebook can be. Even if I'm using it for business and looking at what other people are doing, it can be a useful tool. It can also consume a lot of my time. When I first got Facebook, I didn't, you know, usually accept a friend request from someone I didn't know, but then as using it more for business, it has been a very good tool for me. It's really helped the business, but I also get a lot of friend requests from people that I don't know, but it's more from a business standpoint. But I quickly found out there's some people that post very immoral things on there, and I also found that you can unfollow someone. You can still be friends with them, but you don't see any of the content that they post. So that's one measure or one thing that I started to do when they post something inappropriate like that. Like, most of you know how quickly your mind can go when you see something that you should have never seen or something that's impure. And to allow yourself to repeatedly see that, that's only going to make it harder and harder. We need to cut off and stop that, do the best that we can to see that from happening. I also found, so I work by myself most of the time, and I found myself so easily, you know, if someone sends me a message or I get a phone call, when I lay the phone down, it can be very easy to click into Facebook and scroll a little bit. And I found myself doing that way too often. So it was good for me studying this, and I'm still working at some things to make the best use of time regarding digital technology. And what I've done is just limited myself to certain times or just a few times a day where I allow myself to go on there just to help with this. And I still fail at times where I realize I spend too much time on it. That can be a time waster as well. I like what I heard someone else say. Technology is only profitable if we use it wisely. So a good guide to use as well, thinking about our use of technology. Technology is only profitable if we use it wisely. And Gary Miller has said, and I quote, "No matter how amazing technology becomes, it must not become more important to us than a tool designed to assist. While technology can do great things, it becomes useless when disconnected from its power source. It is God alone who is life-giving, life-sustaining, and worthy of our praise and worship." So the real question isn't maybe whether is technology a blessing or a curse, but what is technology doing for us? Are we drawing closer to God, or is it separating us from God? And I want to just leave you with a challenge. Going back to those three men in Romania, the grandfather, the father, and the son. Three risks. Two were risking their lives for the sake of the gospel, and one was risking his soul because of digital technology. And it is so sad. I believe there's people that are going to miss the kingdom of heaven because of using digital technology in a foolish way or an evil way. And my prayer is that each one of us would do an honest look at how we are using digital technology. Is it drawing us to God, or are we seeing things that are causing us to live an impure life and to separate our relationship with God? And I just want to leave that with you, again, thinking about the knife and the phone. Both can be used for good and both for evil. So, again, I think it's something we need to be talking about as churches. I don't know what all you have in place here, but I think we need to band together as brothers and sisters to help one another, to sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron, so we can live a pure life and we can use technology wisely. So in conclusion, we looked at technology dangers, technology opportunities, and time management. And I think this is something we're always going to battle with to a certain degree, making the best use of our time. But may God give you wisdom as you take a careful look at your use of technology so that you can redeem the time that you are given. God bless you all, and I hope to, with this message, encourage you all to be intentional with your use of digital technology. We'll have prayer, and Lee, if you have a verse of song after the prayer, after that you can all be dismissed. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your word and in how Ephesians 5, where Paul instructed us to be imitators of you. You desire us to live a pure life and to make the best use of our time and to be filled with the Spirit. And I pray that each one of us would do a careful look or careful evaluation of our own hearts and our use of technology. And I pray if your Spirit has spoken to anyone specifically, that they would, if they need to amputate, that they will be willing to amputate. If they feel they need to talk to somebody, I pray that they would talk to somebody so that we can live in a close relationship with you. I pray for the congregation here at Waterworks. I pray that they would continue to band together as brothers and sisters, sharpening one another, and to be using digital technology in a way that brings honor and glory to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.